You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
Who was Jezebel? Jezebel, or the spirit of Jezebel, is a demonic, power-hungry spirit that uses witchcraft to control God's people and God's church. This is a seductive, political, religious spirit that targets prophetic, spirit-led, soul-winning people and ministries. This divisive spirit attempts to destroy the lives of families, friends, ministries, and above all else, the spirit of Jezebel will stop at nothing until it gets you to abandon the call of God on your life. The spirit of Jezebel sounds like give up and quit. Now, before I begin with this, I just want to put a few things first. And it's this, is historically, teaching on Jezebel has been used to control and manipulate women in the church. And just because you are a strong powerhouse woman of God does not mean you're a Jezebel. Second thing is this is not a gender-specific spirit. Both men and women can operate in the spirit. In fact, my spiritual father wrote his book about 25 years before mine, John Paul Jackson, and then he forwarded the book that I wrote on Jezebel. And something that we noticed within the 25-year span of our book is how many more men operate in the spirit of Jezebel today than did 25 years ago. And I believe it's due to the demasculation of men in society. So I want to let you know that this is not a gender-specific spirit. But just for clarity, there are only two genders. Next thing I want to let you know, that we are not on a witch hunt. We're not trying to find Jezebel. Relax, she'll find you. And remember, when I say she, I'm not talking about women. I'm talking about this spirit that made its way, that the Bible mentions, through a woman named Jezebel. Just like if there's an Ahab spirit that we're talking, we'd say he mentioning to that. So it's not gender specific. I also want to put people at rest, where every time I minister on Jezebel, someone will come up to me after service and be like, "Pastor, I think I'm a Jezebel." And bless your heart, I'm glad that you do. I'm glad that you feel that way, because here's the thing, is if you're concerned with being a Jezebel, you most likely aren't. It's like the person that comes and they're like, "I committed blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, I'm doomed." And you're like, "No, you didn't," because your conscience is seared enough to do it if you're concerned about doing it. But here's the thing, is you want to be mindful of these characteristics. If you notice that there is demonic tendencies in your life, and you really don't want to be a Jezebel spirit, or an operation of the Jezebel spirit, then I would encourage you to go after them vigorously. Go to war against these things, and don't have anything that has to do with this spirit a part of your life. Amen? So who was Jezebel? Jezebel was a seductive prophetess of a false god to Baal. Jezebel was the daughter of king priests of Sidon named Ethbaal. Jezebel means without dwelling, cohabitation, unmarried, uncommitted, unhusbanded, or will not submit. That's important. We'll get to it later. She refused to live in peaceful cohabitation. So when King Ahab married her, according to 1 Samuel 16:30, he directly aligned God's enemies with God's people. Jezebel's religion was of the high priest of Ethbaal. So Ethbaal was a priest of Baal, and he mentored his daughter in Baal worship. Then he names her Jezebel. So he named her after the false god that he worshiped. So there was Baal, son of Dagon, Ashtaroth, Ishtar, and Molech. What are those? Those are all demonic ancient gods that people you begin to worship. Here's what they did, is these gods were gods that they worshiped through sensuality. They worshiped through orgies. They worshiped through child sacrifice. They worshiped through the infatuation of blood, dreaming draining and drinking, through body mutilation, including genitals, and all sorts of other perverted acts and orgies. So let me break it down even more for you. So the king of Israel married this witch named Jezebel, and then he allowed her to bring her religion into Israel. So Baal means husband, so that they were supposed to be married to Yahweh. Now the people of God are divorcing Yahweh for this new husband named Baal. So they would set up the temples of Baal and engage in Baal worship, which was all of this sexual perversion. So what they would do is they would have ceremonial orgies with homosexual prostitutes and female prostitutes. And when the female prostitutes would get pregnant, they would take those babies that they made during their cultic worship, and they would murder them and sacrifice them on altars to Baal, which is modern day abortion. Then she raises 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of Ishtar, and what she began to do is she began to go around and persecute every prophet and every priest, murder them, and chase them out of the city. So Baal worship can now become normal in their society. Sounds like America today. So this woman named Jezebel was one of the greatest seducers of the people of God of the Old Testament. But it doesn't stop in the Old Testament, because I just read you to open up this text, Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 20, Jesus, it's written in red in your Bible, is warning the New Testament church, or the end day church, of a spirit of Jezebel. So hold on a second, because this is usually where some Facebook theologian says, I don't believe in the spirit of Jezebel. And that's fine, because she believes in you. But you have Jesus talking about this spirit from Revelation 2:20. Here's what's interesting, is the woman Jezebel lived during 1 Kings, around 67-ish AD. Book of Revelation, where God gives the revelation to John, is written 900 years later. So 900 years after the woman died, and we know the story, she was thrown down from the tower and the dogs licked up her blood. So 900 years later, Jesus is warning of this woman's spirit. So I know that people have made fun of you and talked down to that, but know that that is a form of manipulation and witchcraft. That they get you to belittle or not take seriously demonic forces. So this woman Jezebel wreaked havoc in the church or in the people of God in the Old Testament. And this spirit Jezebel, Jesus warns us, will wreak havoc in the New Testament or the last day church. So we have to be aware of this woman. It's interesting because our world preaches toleration, but Jesus said in Revelation 2, don't tolerate this. So I think it was 2013 or 14, I lost track, but 2013 or 14, I wrote a book called Jezebel, the Witch is Back. And in it, I wrote 32 or 33 different characteristics of what this looks like in modern day. And I'm gonna go over about 10 of them right now, but I'll put it like this, is a lot of us have been dealing with witchcraft. We've been encountering the Jezebel spirit, but we weren't aware of it. I'll put it like this. I remember I was about 25, 26 years old, and it was a summer night, and I get out of my car with my brother-in-law, and he goes, hey, you smell that skunk? I said, that's a skunk? And he goes, you didn't know what a skunk smelled like? And I said, I've smelled that smell my entire life, but no one ever told me what the smell was. And then all of a sudden, I started having flashbacks of being a little kid having campouts and walking out of church in junior high on a Sunday night and driving my car at 18 years old and all of a sudden smelling that weird smell. And no one ever told me what I was smelling, but when I understood what I was smelling, I recognized every time I had smelled it before. A lot of you have smelled Jezebel. You just didn't know what you were smelling. But as I begin to describe this spirit to you and the characteristics, now remember, I'm not describing your friend, your old pastor, your old boss, your cousin, or that person you used to be married to. That's not what I'm describing. I'm going to describe a spirit. And it's amazing how many people's align with that spirit. So I'm going to give you 10. In my book, I list 33. So number one, you ready to go? She's extremely jealous. You say, what is she jealous of? Everything, anything. Anything that there's to be jealous of. She's jealous of your money. She's jealous of your marriage. She's jealous of your children. She's jealous of your position. She's jealous of your hard work. She's jealous of your physical body. She's jealous of any blessing that would come to your life. Why is that a big deal? Because scripture teaches us to be content in all things. But the spirit of Jezebel always wants more. It's like Adam and Eve in the garden. God gave them everything in the garden, but said, I want you to withhold this one thing. But the one thing God told them to refrain from is the one thing the devil told them they had to have. Jealousy creates a spirit of competition. So then you begin to compete with other people because you're jealous of other people and you're trying to outdo each other. And all of a sudden you're not fighting on the Lord's side. You're fighting with the enemy against other believers because you're jealous of them. And it comes out through viciousness. It comes out through these tanglements of witchcraft. I'll get into more of it later. Number two, she doesn't love people, she uses people. She only pretends to love you if she can use you. But if she can't use you anymore, all of a sudden that love's gone. You want to be careful with the people that just became your best friend overnight. That are really, really fast about telling you that you're best friends and this is like love at first sight and we just met, but it's like we've known each other our whole lives. But I'm only letting you see the representative that I'm pretending to be right now. It's this fake, manipulative love that's not real. It's a philos love of feeling that they will get you to feel. They'll get you to feel like you need them. They'll get you to feel like you have to have them in your life because your life is better. It is a false love. And the sin of Jezebel always comes down to they really don't love people. They really love to use people. Number three, information is ammunition. She uses information she knows about you to use against you. So when you're cool with Jezebel, your past is your testimony. But if you cross Jezebel, your past will be used in your present like you're struggling with it now. Oh, you didn't know? Oh, yeah. They used to do this. We just saw that Jezebel spirit with Eric Richardson when he ran for council. Oh, they waited with his testimony till the day that pre-voting started? I smell you, Jezebel political spirit. Wow, he can't be trusted. Yeah, the 17-year-old kid that robbed a drug dealer could not be trusted. But the man of God who leads his family in church and leads in this community is set free by the blood of the Lamb, the word of his testimony can be. But that's what they'll do. Oh, did you hear what he did 27 years ago? You didn't know? They will use. It also comes up, information is ammunition in their prophetic ministry. So they will take information they know about you, mix it with soothsaying, and call it prophetic. And really, they just saw your social media. Oh, there's just greatness all over you, and it's big. I see stadiums, I see big. And you are so ambitious spiritually that I knew it was stadiums. I feel called to minister to crowds. Really? I feel called to minister to the heart of the Lord. That's weird how our callings are so different. But when you feel called to minister to the heart of the Lord, then he puts you in front of crowds. But you just want to go to crowds and you never ever had the heart of the Lord. Oh, Jezebel felt that in you and will use the gift on your life for her advantage. She will take information. Jezebel asks a lot of questions. Oh, tell me more about that. Tell me more of that. Tell me more about that. Tell me more of that. And then you did. My last church, my last pastor, my last. And I didn't even think about that before. And you're right. I really was used. And I really was. You're right. They really didn't appreciate me. And you appreciate me so much more. Man, you're so smart and wise. And I didn't even see this before. I actually completely forgiven that person. But till you stirred it up in my heart again and turned me against them, I didn't even realize how they don't deserve forgiveness. You were almost to supernatural growth till that conversation with Jezebel, you started talking. Go read Proverbs this month. It's awesome. Do it in your daily mercy culture reading. Over and over, it talks about the wisdom of being quiet. She will draw information out of you to use it against you. She is proudly seductive. Number four. Proudly seductive. It's interesting, that's Pride Month in America, and all over the stores there'll be rainbows everywhere saying pride. She is proudly seductive. It's interesting because Baal worship glorified any self-indulging sexual acts, and so does the Church of Satan. I don't recommend reading their website, but that's what it says. I've read it for you. Anything that you want to do, any expression of who you are, as long as you're not hurting anybody, is endorsed by the Church of Satan. Isn't that interesting? It is proudly seductive. Gentlemen, you need to be careful, because Jezebel's good at seducing weak men. You need to be careful. You need to guard your eyes. You need to guard your ears. She should come up to the office and talk about how hard of a worker you are. She wished she had a man that worked as hard as you. Does your wife appreciate you? Does she know what you do for this company? I know she's got four kids and doing it all a lot of the time by herself, and then you come home and eat dinner and relax. I know all that, but does she really appreciate you? We see this seduction in the church, where God speaks to somebody to go do something, and there's a call of God in their life, and they step out in faith, and they're about to go do it, and then they go tell their leader, God told me to do this, and all of a sudden they offer him a job. There was no job before, but all of a sudden there's a promotion, but it's really a promotion with strings attached so you don't leave. And it's playing on the ambition that's in their heart. So they abandon what God told them to do because they got a new job in the ministry. Try to seduce you physically. Girls, there's nothing wrong with great style. But there's something wrong if your physical dress draws attention to your body. I don't care if you clap or not, that's fine. I'm here not to impress you, I'm here to teach you God's word. There's been a modesty that has been lacking in the church. And the reason, because there's a modesty that's lacking on Friday night. Let me help you. If your Friday dress code is different than your Sunday dress code, there might be a Jezebel spirit. Put that on the meme page. I'm gonna move on because I feel some Jezebel resistance. I feel like Kermit the Frog meme right there. Number five, she stirs up strife or sow seeds of discord. What does it mean to sow seeds of discord? Scripture says one puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000 to flight, a three-cord stands not easily. So there is a strand of unity. It's a cord, Scripture calls it. And discord tries to remove the strands of unity. So what happens is, if a strand is removed in a three-cord strand weight, becomes a two-chord strand weight, a two-chord strand weight cannot hold the what a three-chord strand is called to hold. So what happens is it brings division into families, into relationships, and into churches, and then it begins to break apart because you can't hold the weight you're called to because someone brought discord. Give you an example. When the Pharisees had problems with Jesus, they went to his disciples. When they had problems with the disciples, they went to Jesus. See, Matthew 18 says, go to your brother. Do you know how much you would spiritually grow if you stopped sinning and gossip and you just went and talked to people you had issues with? Proverbs 6 calls it an abomination, if you weren't aware of that. You will spiritually grow when you learn how to stop talking bad about other people. Stop talking bad about family members to other family members. Stop talking bad about coworkers to other coworkers. Stop talking bad to friends about other friends. I'm talking about some of the most spiritual people that have gifts on their life are bound in this Jezebelic tie. Here's what it feels like. It feels like you're about to go to say something and this little small voice just comes in and says, you shouldn't say that, don't say that. And right there, you got a split second to make a decision. If you are gonna partner with Jezebel's witchcraft, or are you gonna partner with the Holy Spirit? It's quiet in this Holy Ghost church. You know why it's quiet? Because people are processing. Yeah, I do that. And guess what? So do I. And so you know what I have to do? I have to just get loud and I'm just gonna leave the room. Gotta talk. Let's talk about something else. Let's go somewhere else. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say to him? I just start asking the Holy Spirit questions, and he'll give me assignments of what to do in that moment. But this is a trap that people fall in. And really what it is, it's not just you speaking your mind, it's discord. And if you were a man or woman of God, you would follow Matthew 18 and you would go to your brother. You know how you could be a really good friend to someone? Is when they say, you know what I really shouldn't say? Don't ask them again. You know, you say, I really shouldn't say, and then what do? Oh, God, I won't say nothing. Go and tell me. What do you know? And then we pull witchcraft out of people. Hey, they're struggling in this area. Be a friend. Change the subject. Help them out. Anyway, all right, I got to go on. Beating a dead horse over here. How about this one? This one's great. Number 6, she starts unsanctioned private ministries without permission. Like, what's wrong with that? Nothing, but you went to everybody in the church to go start your own prayer meeting outside of the covering of the church. And you want the influence of the church without the authority of the church. And then when anyone's like, hey, that's out of bounds, that's inappropriate, you should be doing that, you go to everyone in your group and you're like, can you believe it? They don't even want prayer in their church. No, we have prayer all the time. We love prayer. We just don't want you speaking Jezebel curses over people. And then they're blown away. I can't believe it. That church, they're so controlling. They just grieve the spirit. I tried to bring a tambourine in there. They wouldn't even let me. And I played it right in front of the recording microphone so I could send it to all my friends at the 11 o'clock service because I know that was the live stream one. I had someone ask me, they said, can I bring a shofar and blow it during service? I said, no. They're like, how come? You're just trying to grieve the Holy Spirit. I thought you were a church of freedom. Like, we are. Freedom and order. What? I don't even understand. I said, are you a member? They're like, no. So you have no spiritual commitment, but you want to come in during the service and blow a shofar. I said, that's like me going over to your house, arranging your furniture, and putting up pictures of myself and my family around your house. Can I do that? You can blow a shofar if I could do that. So I don't pay your bills. I don't commit to your house. But you don't want me coming in and redecorating your house. You get this all the time. I have a prophetic word for you, Pastor. If you got a prophetic word for me, I'm gonna ask you to write it down. Like, I can't believe you don't want this prophetic word. I can't believe it's not important enough to write down for you. But you're just grieving the Spirit. I spent 2 days with the Holy Spirit to come and minister, and you walked in and are gonna give 2 cents in 2 minutes. I'm helping MC Connect get lower and lower and lower. There were 75 people in the pipeline and it just turned into 45. See, rebellious people don't like order. Rebellious people will never submit themselves to any protocol because they are trying to establish their own ministry through ambition. Number seven, she operates in confusion. The Bible says God is not a God of confusion. Church, pay attention. When you feel spiritually confused, pay attention. When you go have an hour-long meeting with somebody, and after the end of the meeting, you still don't know what we're talking about or what happened or what's wrong, that is a spirit. You are smarter than that moment. It is a spirit called confusion. So watch this. Last week, you were doing the best you've ever done, the most blessed you've ever been. Your marriage was growing, your family's growing, your children are growing, you're growing spiritually. You're at the best place you've ever been spiritually. Know the call of God on your life. So glad God brought you here. Then you have one conversation with one Jezebel. Now you're confused about who you are, what you're doing, if you should be here, if this should be your church, if I should be your pastor, and you just don't know anything about anything after one conversation. So you talk to one devil, experience witchcraft, and now I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. I just don't even know. I don't know. Well, you knew last week. Listen, this isn't random. You know why people are laughing and having fun right now? Because it's happened to them or people that you know. And all of a sudden, just this confusion comes in. Smell the skunk, ladies and gentlemen. It is witchcraft you are encountering. How about this one? Number eight, she won't accept apologies. She won't accept apologies because that means she'd have to forgive. I found myself apologizing to people that operate in the Jezebel spirit over and over and over. I'm like, we just apologized for this. We just talked about this a month ago. We just talked about this 6 months ago. We're talking about the same thing we talked about last year. And now we're bringing up the same thing. And then they're so hurt. And then I'm trying to apologize. And I'm trying to make that. And that wasn't my heart. And that's not my intention. All of a sudden, now I'm apologizing for things I didn't even do because I'm apologizing nonstop to appease this person. Finally, I said to the Lord, why won't Jezebel accept apologies? And the Holy Spirit said, what's forgiveness? I said, letting go. He said, letting go of control. Oh, because if she can make you feel bad, she controls you. She owns you. So now you're apologizing about something 20 years ago again, 10 years ago again, and you feel bowed and you're groveling and you're doing whatever you can to make peace. Can I pastor you? Peace at any cost is spiritual terrorism. Terrorism. And Jezebel terrorizes people. She won't forgive. Pay attention. Here's some practical advice. It's not going to come up on the screen. It's in the moment. If you're dealing with someone that is not forgiving again, remind them that they forgive and then challenge their devotion to the Lord. Looks like this. Are you a Christian? Then why won't you honor the forgiveness that you've already given? Changes the conversation just a little bit. That's why at Mercy Culture, we say forgiveness is not an option. It's one of our values. Do you know why? Because we're not raising Jezebels around here. Praise the Lord. Number nine, she has no fruit of the Spirit. So she will call what is not fruit, fruit, because she has no fruit. So she'll say, well, look at all my money. Look how God's blessed me. That's not fruit, that's money. Well, look at this big house God blessed me with. That's not fruit. That's not spiritual fruit. Spiritual fruit's not money. It's not your home. It's not your car. That stuff. Wicked people have that too. The only thing that is fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Let's help some people on the podcast. Your big church ain't fruit. Look at all these people. There's some big cults too with a lot of people. The Cowboys draw a lot of people. That's not fruit. And in fact, the sports in COVID bring more people than the church. I don't know why everybody's going, whoa. It's not fruit. Ah, you know what's problem? Is people like claiming other things as fruit because it didn't take anything to produce it. Love takes work. Joy takes work. Peace that surpasses all understanding takes work. Gentleness takes work. Faithfulness takes work. Self-control, help me somebody, takes work. It takes the help of the Holy Spirit to produce spiritual fruit. And because she doesn't have the Holy Spirit, she rejects the Holy Spirit, she has no fruit. Last one, I gotta keep going, I'm in a hurry. Number 10, you like this one. This one's how I found Jezebel. She's never, ever, 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 ever wrong. Never wrong. You can catch her red-handed, she's not wrong. You can catch her on video, recording lies. She didn't say that. It's right here, you said that. I got you on video. I didn't say that. No. We just talked yesterday, and this is what you said. I didn't say that. No, you just said it. I didn't do that. I remember my earlier days of ministry. Our pastor called me. He's like, hey, I need you to go to the courthouse. There's a guy that's about to be sentenced, and I need you to go. So he came to the church a few times, and he ended up robbing a 7-Eleven and then called the police on himself and was arrested, and then he's at the judge. And so I really don't know what I'm supposed to do there. I'm just there for emotional support, and I'm there. And the guy comes up before the judge, and the judge reads off the whole thing and everything, and then says, how do you plead? He goes, not guilty. I'm like, bro, you called the police on yourself. Come on, you're guilty. This is how she is in everything. Oh, not guilty. I didn't do it. No, I didn't. No, I didn't mean that. That's not what I did. I wasn't wrong. Look at this is a spirit. And this is how I found it in my life and my family. I said, how can we be right every time? And if you and your family and your ministry is right every time, you got yourself a Jezebel on your hands. You have a spirit of Jezebel. Because there is no humility, there is no love, there is only pride. Let me show you what this does. Controlling people is witchcraft. Please write that down. These tactics of manipulation is control. Controlling people is witchcraft. And she uses tactics of witchcraft to control people. She uses fear to control people. She uses manipulation to control people. What does manipulation sound like? It sounds like if you leave this church, you're cursed. Really? Because you just said last week, you could come to this altar and you could be addicted, you can be in sin, you could be a prostitute. It doesn't matter what you've done, that Jesus loves you. He died for you. While you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. He died to save you, to set you free. You were justified. You were saved. He pulled you up out of the miry clay. Put your foot on a rock. Watch. He will save you, set you free, and deliver you. But if you leave this church, you're cursed. I know there's 31,000 scriptures. I don't have them all memorized, but I haven't seen that in here. You know why? It's not in there. It's manipulation. Fear, manipulation, intimidation, and leads to complete domination. Where you are dominated by the Spirit. And you have been forced into submission, and you will do whatever the person operating in this spirit tells you to do. The name Jezebel means unhusbanded. That word unhusbanded means this, will not submit. Jezebel, the spirit of Jezebel, you're not born with. You are made into a Jezebel. The spirit of Jezebel is made through forced submission. I want to talk about submission today with a little bit of time I have left. And submission has become a dirty word in the church. And the reason why it's become a dirty word, because it's been used to control and manipulate people. It's been used by rogue leaders to manipulate God's people and to punish them if they're ever shown anything that looks like disobedience to them. And unfortunately, in too many Jezebelic atmospheres and ministries, we have taught obedience to man instead of obedience to God. Submission is not someone else controlling you. Submission is you controlling you. Let me tell you what submit means in the Word of God. It comes from two Greek words, hupo and hesteme. And we get the word hypotazo, which means this. Submit means this in the Greek. To place or rank under, to subject, to obey. Or it means this. I submit or put myself into or under subjection. Submission is you putting yourself under authority, not someone else forcing you into submission. This is very important because we have lost the art of submission in the church today. Because we acknowledge and promote rebellion or freedom that disguises itself as rebellion, we have created a free spirit that is really just a rebelliousness. A lot of people think they're submitted until their will is tested. Well, this is the best church that you've ever had in your entire life until you didn't make the worship team. And the truth is you're more talented than anyone else. But they prayed and asked the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit said it wasn't the season. You're supposed to just receive. But you took that word as a rejection, and now all of a sudden, oh, they just think they're Pastor Jasmine. She just thinks that she's just this. They just think that they're this. And I saw when she was worshiping, she even turned her back on me. Like, darling, that was the Lord. It was the Lord. It wasn't personal. No, but this is what we do. Is we think that we're submitted, watch, until our will is tested. Sometimes people in church are like taking your kid to the park. You know, you got little kids and you go in the park and everyone's having fun and got their little snacks and their waters and all this stuff. And you're getting your phone out and you're taking pictures and on the swings. And Pastor Steve, I saw you with Honor swinging her and just all the little fun trips to the park. And I noticed Pastor Steve always posts pictures of them going to the park. I haven't seen him post about leaving the park yet. Because you got a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, and you're like, it's time to go. And all of a sudden, they're like, no. Like, what do you mean, no? You're 1 year old. How do you even know how to talk? I'm not going home. You're like, no, you are. No. And all of a sudden, like the kid weighs 20 pounds, but you're like, you can't pick him up. Like, you can't get the child. And then you're trying to put him in the stroller, and you can't keep a 2-year-old in the stroller. And you're like, get in there. Like, no, we are legion. We are many. No one posts pictures of leaving the park. And a lot of church folk are like that. I love this church. It's awesome. Can I do this? Not yet. No. I'm going to the church across the street. We're like, see ya. Take Legion with you. It's true. And then all of a sudden, you were submitted until you didn't get your way. And now you're not submitted. You know what I love seeing? I love seeing Fallon worship this morning. Because Fallon was rolling crates 2 years ago in a high school. And you maybe recognized her because she's usually behind a camera capturing your God encounter on a weekly basis. There is no position of servanthood that she has thought is beneath her. And so I love watching her worship and God use her in this realm because she has submitted herself to serve. Jezebel loves the stage. And all of the lights that come with it. See, we have lost the heart of submission. Let me just pass to you for a second. Do you know why we've lost it? Because we've been abused by it. I've been a part of ugly, abusive, Jezebelic ministries, and they're brutal. And I've been so loyal to people that I realized, whoa. This behavior isn't godly. And then you have to decide, are you going to truly be submitted to God? Now, you got to be careful. This is challenging right now. Because there's a group of people that you struggle with submission because you've been abused by bad leaders. And then there's a group of people that struggle with submission because you're rebellious. And so it's this tightrope that we're walking that we have to help each other with. Because some people think they're submitted, but they're not submitted to anyone or anything. And you haven't had a home church for 20 years, not because there's not a good church in DFW. It's because you're not submitted. And you got to be careful when someone's like, I'm submitted to God. Like, no, you ain't. Because you don't honor his scripture. So you say it with your mouth, but not your actions. And if you look at great men and great women in the Bible, they were always submitted to someone. I'm going to say it like this. How do you know if you're truly submitted to spiritual authority? There's someone in your life that can tell you no. If there's no one in your life that can tell you no and that you submit to, you're not under spiritual authority. I see this all the time. Right, cringe. Have you seen a car wreck almost about to happen? You know what's going to happen. You could see it coming. This is how I see relationships all the time. As girls go and date non-saved guys, and they go to try to submit themselves to a man who's not submitted. And because you're lonely today, you'll compromise today and cost yourself decades. This submission stuff is a big deal. And if I was truthful with you, I've submitted myself to bad leaders that abused me, that mistreated me, that talked bad about me, that manipulated me. And guess what? Not one day of it was a waste of time. Because none of it was for them. All of it was for the Lord. And when the Lord showed me, son, you got to honor me first, it was an easy switch. Thank God. Thank God. Listen, that's why we're so passionate about health here. That's why I love someone said on the 2-year anniversary when I got to Mercy Culture and I peered behind the curtain, I was expecting it was going to be like other ministries where it was ugly behind the scenes. And when I peered behind the curtain, it was even better. Do you know why? Because it really isn't built around me. It really isn't built around you. It really is built around him and his presence. Listen, and when we learn how to submit to God and submit to spiritual authority and submit one to another, it creates this beautiful power. So watch this. Let me show you how Jezebel's made. I'm running out of time. Jezebel is made by forcing submission. Look at Ephesians 6. I love God's word. I've been reading Ephesians 6 to you one or two times a service every week for the past 4 weeks. Ephesians 6. Watch this. I saw something in Ephesians 6 that I've never seen before. It says this: we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, against rulers, against authorities. We talked about unseen principalities, against cosmic powers. Whoa. All this presented to darkness against, watch, the spiritual forces of evil. Are you reading God's word? The spiritual forces of evil. What are the spiritual forces of evil? It is the Jezebel spirit and demonic spirits that force you to submit to it. Jezebel means unsubmitted. Evil forces are at work to get you to submit to her and away from submission to God. That is the purpose of the Jezebel spirit, is to get you to be in rebellion to God. This is what witchcraft looks like. So Jezebels are made in the world through forced evil, and they're made in the church through forced religion. Isn't it interesting that everything in the world is to force you to comply with what the world says to do? You are forced to comply. That if you believe there's two genders, you're a bigot. Well, then what's the third? We're supposed to believe in science until science doesn't back up anything they say. You're forced. I saw a politician's daughter tweet this week, if Jesus was alive today, he would work at Planned Parenthood. First of all, he is alive today. And because you don't know that, it negates the rest of your tweet. There's a forced evil. And there's a forced religion. This preach, girl. I've seen this manipulate and abuse women in the church, where they throw around Jezebel because you're just strong. Because weak men have the microphone, you're a Jezebel. I got you, girl. We're in Texas. This is strong here. So all of a sudden, the Great Commission's not everyone going out in all the world preaching the gospel. It's just a few mean guys. Oh, I'm sorry. As you're one, you're saved and God loves you. The rest of the world's going to hell and you're okay with that. You see the no love? You see the no fruit? You see the no compassion? I want to let you know, how do you defeat the forces of the enemy? James 4:7 tells us. We hear it all the time, except we just say the first part, the second part, leave out the first part. The second part is, it says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But we tend to only quote, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. But the first part says, submit yourself to God. You know what that word resist in the Greek means? It means to forcefully take a stand to not let go. Watch. When you submit to God, supernatural warfare begins to take place. Watch. And what you couldn't do in your own strength, the Holy Spirit comes, watch, and he takes his forces and wages war against the forces of evil. Watch, Jezebel tries to make followers and make subjects through forced submission, and God makes weapons. He makes an army out of people that will learn how to submit themselves to the Lordship of Jesus, to submit themselves to spiritual authority, to submit themselves to one another. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Worship team, come and join me. When you submit, God fights for you. Wow. Watch. Is all Jesus does is submit to the will of the Father. And all of heaven fights for him. See, you thought spiritual warfare was you yelling loud, saying some special prayer, posting a unicorn with the rainbow, with the scripture. I'm being funny, but we've made it the wrong thing. You know what spiritual warfare is? Not fighting with fear. You know what spiritual warfare is? Lifting up the highest power. You know what spiritual warfare is? Fighting for the Father's heart. You know what spiritual warfare is? Submitting yourself to God. I want to say one thing and then I'm going to close. I hear this all the time by good-hearted young leaders. They say, what if I feel like the Lord telling me something and it's different than what God is telling my spiritual leaders? And my response is, unless it's evil, wrong, or unbiblical, submit. Watch. And the judgment will fall on your spiritual leaders. Because you submitted. When you submit, you place yourself under God's spiritual authority. You cannot go wrong with a heart of submission. Church, I can't express the brutality that I've seen in church and what Heather and I have gone through. But the beautiful thing is we held on to God in his presence. And we just loved him. And his mercy has been new every morning. His undeserved kindness has always been there for us. And no matter what we go through, no matter what hardships are there, no matter how many bad leaders have mistreated you, it doesn't change God's love for you or your love for him. I love what Joseph said when his brothers disowned him and he ends up in a palace over all Egypt, and he said what the enemy meant for evil, God turned for good. And he told his brothers, I've been with God the whole time in every situation. Revelations 2 says, I have given you time to repent. You know what time to repent is? It's mercy. I'm giving you time, watch, to choose him. Do you know how you submit to God? It's really simple. You choose to obey him. I have this temptation, but I choose to obey him. I have these desires, but I choose to obey him. I want justice in my own eyes, but I choose to obey him. You choose to obey God.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.